Organization operated from the city of Bahía Blanca and its most effective center of operations was at the Navy Mechanics School, or ESMA, chosen because of its location in the center of the city of Buenos Aires, which thus allowed operational control of the civilian population, which was to be subject to extermination and for the necessary political authority for such a plan, the control of the Ministry for Education and the Ministry for Foreign Affairs.
These were both under the authority of the Argentinian Navy in the middle of the 1960s, the result of an unwritten constitution which was tacitly accepted by the Argentinian political parties, the Catholic Church, which had a veto on the subject of secondary education policy, and the rest of the armed forces.
This was happening to him in the nose, as Martí would say, the entrails of the monster. He was born in the city of Bahía Blanca and grew up there until the 60s. He was educated within a reactionary society, which perceived the war navy as something akin to the Junkers in Germany.
The center of the ideology of the secular society, the newspaper La Nueva Provincia, Flamingo was a close friend of its own.
This newspaper was indeed the ideological center of the organization. It was there that the Nazi groups from the entire province of Buenos Aires were formed, organized, and coordinated.
Came an ultra-right-wing editorial which published the most reactionary journals of the time in any clandestine way. These were the famous Cabildo journals.
He ran editorials which published the complete works of the Nazi ideology in Spanish, producing some of the only Spanish translations of these, and in particular the works of Argentinian ideological follower of Adolf Hitler, Walter Barré. He was and is their ideological model.
Part of what Adolfo Cilingo told the investigating judge, Baltasar Garzón, this could only have been recounted by someone who had indeed been a key member of this criminal organization.
An organization of this type is analogous to a criminal conspiracy and requires criminal cooperation by its members to achieve its objectives.
The group was created as an illegal conspiracy to commit criminal acts. In this case, crimes against humanity, acts of extermination, forced disappearance of persons, extrajudicial executions,
subsequently, in the context of his defense strategy, Adolfo Cilingo retracted his initial statement, but his initial statement to the investigating judge, made pursuant to all appropriate procedural guarantees of due process, remained valid for the purpose of trial, according to Spanish jurisprudence in similar cases.
Dated October 7, 1997, from the Human Rights Secretariat of Tierra Unida, recognized the voluntary appearance of Adolfo Cilingo.
The voluntary appearance of Adolfo Francisco Cilingo before the Spanish judge who was investigating the disappearance of Spanish citizens in Argentina, Baltasar Garzón, and his first statement to the judge made today, the 7th of October, could only be seen in a positive light by the Tierra Unida, particularly insofar as they confirm the future of these judicial proceedings.
The statement of Cilingo will doubtlessly be important to base an action for the crimes of genocide, state terrorism, and the existence of a criminal organization which developed a perfect strategy to carry out illegal oppression and disappearances directed and planned by the Argentinian Navy.
With Cilingo's statement, the evil organizational structure of the ESMA will be revealed, as will the responsibility of the senior ranks of the Navy and members of the task forces, the group of the Bellas, affirmed the Human Rights Secretariat of the IU in the communique.
Indeed, a delegation of the Human Rights Secretariat arrived at the airport of Paracas, Madrid, the morning of Monday, October 6th, and accompanied Adolfo Cilingo and his lawyers to their hotel.
Amongst those present were Gregorio Viones, today president of the Chicanese Court, Francisco Pérez, a representative of the Human Rights Secretariat of the IU, and Graciela Lois, a familiares de detenidos desaparecidos de Buenos Aires, a group representing relatives of those who were detained or disappeared in Argentina.
Important witness to that meeting was journalist Fernando Mas, now dead. He was at that time one of the three journalists who followed the proceedings and the only one to have reported on it in the beginning. He was later accompanied by the journalist from the ANSA agency, Monica Leo, and by two of the lawyers from the Human Rights Secretariat.
Also on the morning of Monday, the 6th of October, members of the Human Rights Secretariat, accompanied by the lawyers Mario Galera and Liliana Martinez, presented a document in court which notified the judge of the presence and state of Cilingo in his decision to make a voluntary statement as a defendant and to put himself at the disposition of the judge.
Adolfo Cilingo was accompanied to the building of the Audiencia Nacional at 9:30 a.m. Tuesday, October 7th. There he gave testimony for over 3 hours before Judge Baltasar Garzón, after which the judge decided to transfer him to the prison at Carabanchel, Madrid, in order to continue to 8th of October.
Our fulfilling was the first person accused in legal proceedings concerning the disappearance of Spanish citizens during the last military dictatorship in Argentina, to appear voluntarily.
Given that in Spain there is no process of judgment in absentia, the decision has opened the door to the possibility of a trial in these proceedings.
Since the beginning, the Office of the Attorney General has opposed the proceedings and has done so in such a way as to put its own legal role in doubt.
It has maintained its position until as recently as June 1, 2004. When the new Attorney General decided to withdraw the appeal the office had filed before the Criminal Division of the Supreme Court.
At the same time, instructions were issued to the Chief Prosecutor of the Argentina Tribunal to modify the conduct of the prosecutor's office in order to fulfill its proper procedural function in the criminal process.
To in the past with the untimely and clearly unregulated statements of Attorney General Mourinho, who always denied the right to justice of the victims by using National Socialist arguments, such as in the instance of the anonymous document dated October 2, 1997, which had wide-ranging international repercussions.
The shift in opinion with respect to proceedings also touched the political parties, many of whom had been opposed to such proceedings, the most well-known of such opponents being the former president of the government, Felipe González.
December 11, 2003, in the 7th legislature, is almost getting to its end. A statement signed by all the parliamentary groups except the Partido Popular is published.
The statement was the product of a series of meetings which were held with the different groups by some of the members of the organization, forming the Coordinadora contra la Impunidad, the Coordinator Against Impunity.
Particularly important was the participation in the meetings of the then Socialist Member of Parliament, Lilina García Arias, and of members of Equipo Nisto.
The main points of the statement were as follows. Parliamentary groups endorsing this declaration wish to
expressly ratify the report produced by the Special Investigatory Commission on the Disappearance of Spanish Subjects in Countries of Latin America. Publication of the official diary of both Houses of Parliament was ordered by the President of the Senate on the 5th of July, 1983, and that in the paragraph entitled Crimes Against Humanity, expressly affirms, for all this, the Commission feels obligated to declare and declares that it finds itself before a massive violation of the fundamental right par excellence, the right to life and human dignity, a right sheltered by the Constitution of all civilized countries, protected by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, proclaimed by different cultures, professed by diverse churches. Such an elimination of the detained disappeared is therefore a true crime against humanity.
Declare that the right to know the final destiny of what occurred to victims of the repression in Argentina is not simply the right of any individual victim or closely related person to know what happened. It is a right to the truth. The right to know is also a collective right, drawing upon history to prevent violations from occurring in the future. Its corollary is the duty to remember, which the state must assume, in order to guard against the perversions of history that go under the names of revisionism or negationism. The knowledge of the oppression it has lived through is part of the people's national heritage, and as such, must be preserved. These, then, are the main objectives of the right to know as a collective right, in accordance with the UN document dated 2 October 1997, entitled Question of the Impunity of Perpetrators of Human Rights Violations, Civil and Political States.
Support and transmit gratitude to the Argentinian human rights organizations, and especially to the relatives of the detained disappeared, that have provided the necessary accumulation of proof and testimony that have allowed these procedures to arrive at the trial phase, and also to the human rights organizations as to the Acusaciones Populares Patria actions that have permitted the completion of the investigation proceeding despite the continuous obstruction and denials of justice exercised by the prosecutor's Office of the Audiencia Nacional.
Express a recognition of the numerous relatives of Spanish victims that were executed, disappeared, tortured, and pillaged in Argentina, that despite the passage of time and demonstrating a clear confidence in Spanish justice, give testimony before our consulate of what occurred there.
Request the Spanish government to abandon its obstructive attitude towards the accomplishment of the right to justice and to not place any obstacles that will prevent the trial from going forward in a transparent form, permitting the case to arrive at the sentence for crimes against humanity in ordinary jurisdiction, which would be an important step in the fight against this type of crime that offends the spirit of humanity and leaves its authors outside any human categorization.
This statement, for the first time the human rights organizations that have been involved in the proceedings since the beginning, were given clear moral support by a representative of the Spanish parliamentary group.
Rolfo Cilingo, former vessel captain, was a member of the Counterintelligence and Extermination Unit, formed by the secret order of the military authority known as Task Force 332, which had its center of operations at the Naval Mechanics School.
Within the criminal hierarchy that was set up, Postma was designated as part of Zone 1, and within the federal capital subzone.
Apart from its function as a training center for non-commissioned officers of the Argentine Navy, it became one of the most bloody clandestine detention centers during the period of military repression.
At the heart of ESMA Operating Unit, or Task Force 332, founded in May of 1976, and Task Force 333, composed of members of the SIN, the Naval Intelligence Service.
Task Force 332 was made up of about 50 persons who changed regularly, operated clandestinely, margin of any formal legality, arms and supplies facilitated by the Army, and in coordination with the command of the zone, subzone, and local police, would cleanse an area before any violent action was carried out, and lend support and intelligence to improve the efficiency of the operation.
Task Force 332 was created pursuant to a direct order of Admiral Emilio Eduardo Mancera, and operated with the acquiescence and consent of two other members of the military junta, General Jorge Videla, Brigadier Orlando Ramon Aosti, now chief, co-conspirators, along with the military leadership of the entire strategy.
This task force, although first made up solely of members of the Navy, soon began to include officials of the federal police, prison service, Navy command, and the Army in order to carry out the work entrusted to them.
This explains the decisive and expressive support of the high command of the Navy, and in particular, that of Admiral Mancera, who was a driving force behind the increased integration of the group. Declared to the officers of the inaugural meeting that they should respond to the enemy with the maximum violence at any cost.
Seda also took part in the first operations of the task force. Annihilation operations, raids, seizing assets, and or kidnapping, using the nicknames Negro or Cero.
The structure of the task force, its operations, conduct, and development, remained the same throughout the entire Argentinian military dictatorship, and it carried out its repressive duties pursuant to a scheme of hierarchical verticality within the command of those responsible.
The Argentinian Navy used Task Force 332, an extermination unit both within and outside the territory of Argentina.
Performance has been demonstrated as part of the Andean Task Force, or Foreign Task Force, when it worked in conjunction with Battalion 601 of the Argentinian Army Intelligence in Bolivia, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Nicaragua. It's a member in the hundreds of thousands.
It is important to stress that the War Navy of Argentina, during the military dictatorship, was in charge of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and therefore for all illegal operations carried out abroad.
As the Equipo Nisco has stated on many occasions, extermination is a crime against humanity, and as such, is punishable under international law.
Extermination was included as a crime against humanity in the Nuremberg Charter, Article 6, Subsection C, Full Council Law Number 10, Article 2, Paragraph C, Army's Charter, Article 5, Subsection C, and the Nuremberg Principles, Principle 4, Subsection C.
It is also included in the statutes of the International Criminal Tribunals for the former Yugoslavia, Article 5, and Rwanda, Article 3, as well as in the Draft Code of Crimes Against the Peace and Security of Mankind, Article 2 of the 1954 Draft, and Article 18, Subsection D of the 1996 version.
The International Law Commission, in its 1996 report, explained that both murder and extermination consist of distinct and yet closely related criminal conduct which involves taking the lives of innocent human beings. Extermination is a crime which, by its very nature, is directed against a group of individuals. In addition, the act used to carry out the offense of extermination involves an element of mass destruction which is not required for murder.
In this regard, extermination is closely related to the crime of genocide, in that both crimes are directed against a large number of victims. However, the crime of extermination would apply to situations that differ from those covered by the crime of genocide. Extermination covers situations in which a group of individuals who do not share any common characteristics are killed. It also applies to situations situations in which the members of a group are killed while others are spared.
Finally, the recently enacted statute of the International Criminal Court includes a definition of extermination in Article 7.2 as follows. The intentional infliction of conditions of life, inter alia, deprivation of access to food and medicine, calculated to bring about the destruction of part of a population.
The people need to believe that the Argentinian task forces are similar to the extermination units formed under the Nazi regime and known as the Einsatzgruppen.
These extermination groups were subject to prosecution at one of the Nuremberg trials, in the case of USA versus Otto Ohlendorf and others, better known as the Einsatzgruppen case.
The case became known as the Einsatzgruppen case because the criminal conduct of which all the defendants were accused arose from their functions as members of the Einsatzgruppen.
The German word Einsatzgruppen can be translated as special task forces, or special task groups, or special units.
Four of these special units were formed in May of 1941, just before the German attack on Russia, and were set up under the control of Hitler and Heinrich Himmler, the head of the SS and the German police.
Units were organized by Reinhard Heydrich, head of the security police and the SD, security service, and operated under the direct control of the head office of Reich Security, RSHA.
The Einsatzgruppen were made up of individuals from the SS, the SD, the Gestapo, police, another police unit.
Prosecution alleged that the basic purpose of the Einsatzgruppen was to accompany the German army to the occupied eastern territories and exterminate Jews, Gypsies, Soviet officers, and other elements of the civilian population who were deemed to be racially inferior or politically undesirable.
Approximately 1 billion human beings were the victims of this program.
The Einsatzgruppen case was heard in the Court of Justice of Nuremberg. The case started on July 3, 1947, and judgment was given on April 9, 1948.
All the documents referred to in this program are available on the specialized section of the Equipo News Bureau website.
There's also a website page following the development of the Selinga trial, which contains all relevant documentation concerning the case.
This program has been produced by Radio News Corp, with information provided by Equipo News Corp, and with the collaboration of the Shell Center for International Human Rights at Yale Law School. It has been edited and post-produced at our studios in Madrid on December 28, 2004.
You've been listening to Radio News Corp. Thank you.